In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You have ears to hear. That is, you have faith to believe. So gladly give your attention to the Word of God. Eagerly listen to what your God wants to teach you in this parable. For faith lives by the Word. God comes to you to speak His Word to you yet again, so that you may have life and have it to the full. He doesn't have to do this, but He wants to. So don't take it for granted, because in countless places throughout the world where that word was taken for granted, it has now been removed. So while we still have time together, while we still are able to gather together, let us give our attention to the hearing of God's holy word. Let us gladly hear and learn it. The seed is the word of God. A seed cannot give life unless it first falls to the ground, dies, and is buried. That is not lost upon the Christian. For Christ is the promised seed of the woman. He is the one who fell to the ground in death and was buried. And on that third day, he sprouted as a new and glorious vine, as life for all nations. He died for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The payment has been paid in full. Sin is removed. Death is overcome. Hell is extinguished. Satan is crushed. The Lord lives. The seed has sprouted. Christ lives, never to die again. So the seed is that precious message of the gospel, the kernel of God's salvation for all nations. It is that sweet proclamation of Christ's death and resurrection. The seed alone has the power of life. The seed is precious, for that word of God is most dear to our hearts. For what else can keep us alive? What else can lead us to bear abundant fruit? What else can bring us from this life into the next? So each kernel, each seed is sown in love and in hopeful expectation. There are different types of soil, however. Most will not bring forth fruit. The ground itself is men, and the fruit is the indication of faith. Life is in the seed and not in the ground, but the seed is put into the ground so that the ground may bring forth life. For life and salvation and happiness and hope do not come from within you, but life and salvation and peace and joy and happiness come from outside of you and are put into you through God's word. So God sows the word into you through preaching and teaching. This word alone is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. He won't skimp on you. He won't hold back on you. But he preaches and teaches and forgives and shares his love so that you might bring forth an abundant fruit, so that your life may flourish. The different soils are the different people. But we dare not think that we are only one type and only one. Every time we are given an opportunity to hear the word, we are one of these types of soil. And perhaps even at a given time, we are more than one. So some of that seed falls along the path. The birds come and quickly eat it up. Satan is a mighty adversary. Like a bird, he watches and waits for the farmer just to get far enough away so he can swoop down and snatch that word, leaving the soil lifeless. He's a liar and the father of lies. He takes away the word of truth and leaves men with their own ideas, their own opinions, their own thoughts on what salvation or God or life is supposed to be. He doesn't care if you believe that the Bible is God's word. But he doesn't want you to believe that that scripture is applicable to you today. Fine for them back then. God was speaking to them, but it's different for you now. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. So like a man who looks at himself in a mirror and then goes away and forgets completely what he looks like, so is this type of soil. He hears the word of God, But it goes in one ear and out the other. He hears that word, but it bounces off his heart and does not take root. We hear the word of God. Week after week, we come to sit in these pews to listen to God's word. Satan doesn't care that you're here. Satan doesn't even care if you are listening to the word of God, but he doesn't want you to listen in faith. He doesn't want you to submit yourself fully and completely to what is preached. He wants you to sit in judgment over all things. So if you think that somehow God is pleased because you are physically present, that you have somehow met your weekly requirement, then you are no different than the man who looks at himself in a mirror and forgets what he looks like. You have not come here just so that you are physically present. But you have come here because here that precious seed is preached, it is sown, it is given. And that word alone is your life. There's no other hope. The word alone is your hope of life. So diligently pay attention to that word. Gladly hear and learn it, lest Satan snatch it away. Other seed fell among the rocks. It sprang up quickly. Faith was quickly given. They are eager for Christ. They are zealous for Christ. They love Christ, but they do not persevere in this faith. For the pleasures, or for the life of a Christian is too much for them. In the time of testing, they fall away. It's too much sacrifice, too much living for other people, too much devotion to the Word of God, too much love. And they just simply want to carry around doing the things they want to do. They prayed with St. Paul, "Take this thorn out of my flesh." And yet the same word given to St. Paul is also given to them. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And they cannot understand how a God who makes heaven and earth and who loves them beyond all measure would leave them in this hardship, difficulty, or suffering. It doesn't make sense, so they slowly begin to drift away. Slowly begin to neglect the word. They don't receive the waters of life, the word of God. And so their roots have no moisture. They quickly wither and die. They want God to give them a good and easy life. We also want God to give us a good and easy life free from trouble. How many times have we prayed to God to remove this or that adversity? Those are good prayers. But God has never promised to remove those troubles. In fact, he has promised the exact opposite. "Pick up your cross and follow me," he says. A cross is not easy to bear. But what he does promise is you will find rest for your souls. You will find peace for your souls and joy and happiness. The life you live on this earth is not always easy, but the word of God is your strength and your comfort. Job, St. Peter, and St. Paul were all afflicted by the devil himself. And yet they overcame by that word. It is the same word that you have that touches your ears and your lips. That same precious message of the gospel that God is your Savior, so nothing can snatch you out of his hand. Gladly hear that word of God. Gladly give your attention to it diligently, because this word alone leads to life. Some seed also fell among the thorns. Those thorns sprang up quickly and choked faith out. These are those who hear and also believe, but they are filled with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this world. Their hearts are divided. They love God, they also love this world. And you cannot serve two masters. Either you love the one and hate the other, or you despise the one and you are devoted to the other. You cannot serve both God and earthly things. You can't have it both ways. Or as St. James says, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So faith has choked out money and pleasures and experiences and happiness and family become the end-all and be-all. They become the primary joy and happiness, the first love. They want to have it both ways, but they cannot. Now understand, all these things are tremendous blessings from God, and God gives it to those as he sees fit. We are not to despise these things in any way, but neither are we to love them above God, and neither are we to worry about them, not even about our family. They can't supplant God in our hearts. As much as we love them, even more so we are to love our Lord. As much as we enjoy listening to their conversations, so much more we are to enjoy listening to that life-saving message of God's word. It is everything for us. So eagerly desire and joyfully give your full attention to that word of God. Finally, some seed does fall on the good soil. They hear it with a good and noble heart, retain it, and by persevering produce an abundant harvest. Christ preaches his gospel to the ends of the earth, scattering that seed so that life may flourish. So that you might be good ground filled with life, Christ preaches this word to you. And that word breaks up your hard path, smashes those rocks and rips out the thorns as God redirects your attention on what is truly needful in your life, the word. Then he implants that word into your heart so life may continue to grow and flourish. You hear and believe, faith blossoms. You receive his word in a visible way in the Holy Supper, faith flourishes. You daily give your attention to learning and growing in this word, and faith produces an abundant harvest, more than what was started with. At times you are distracted, but always repentant. At times you do worry about finances or family or the future or your country, but always repentant. For you believe that this word must have full and complete control over your life. It must have full sway over everything you do. For this word and this word alone can give you life. So yes, God's grace is sufficient for you, because he never withholds that gracious word from you, that promise of the gospel. He continues to forgive all of your sins. He continues to preach and to teach. It's the same forgiveness that you received as a little child when you were brought to the waters of holy baptism. The same love of the Father, the same gift of salvation, the same hope of heaven, the same life. But what else can keep you alive? What else do you desire God to give you when he has already poured out his grace immeasurably upon you and then comes to do it again and again and again? For your life is found in that word. The word is it. Christ is it. He's everything. So Christ is the sower, and Christ is also the seed. For your salvation, your life, and even your abundant good works come only from him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.